Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special episode of Wheel Geeks for the film that we couldn't get into the schedule when it came out in May. But so help me God, we're talking about this damn movie. I am, of course, if you haven't figured it out yet, from the hat, am referring to the indie horror film Becky, starring Kevin James, Joel McHale, and Lulu Wilson. And so we're going to take a quick look at the trailer and then, of course, come back with our thoughts on the film.
What happened by your fort, Becky?
Search continues for four inmates who escaped federal custody this morning. Authorities say the men are armed and extremely dangerous.
Come on, boy, let's go swimming. Let's...
Oh, can you wait a sec?
What is she doing here?
You let her walk all over you.
She's 13.
Jeff, this gentleman lost his dog.
Okay, well, why don't you give us your number?
My dog is a Rottweiler. Purebred, or as the Germans call them, Rottweiler Metzgerhund. That's why you never let them mate with other breeds. You get the worst of both.
Okay, I think it's time for you to go.
Stay calm. I'm looking for a key. It has this symbol engraved on it. You seen it?
No.
Well, that leaves little Becky. Where's Becky?
Wait!
He's gonna hold your dad still while I hurt him.
I'm not gonna let them get away with this.
Was a little girl.
Becky!
And she was good.
Stop running!
She was very, very good. And when she was bad,
hey!
She was horrible.
What was the point of all of this? For a key?
It's worth much more than that.
Becky! You're clearly a special girl!
I don't want to have to hurt you.
But I do want to hurt you real bad.
Now, I'm pretty sure we can all figure out how I feel about this film.
You bought merch. It must have been a good film.
Oh, no, I had this custom made.
Or it was a really bad B film, and you bought merch anyway because you like bad B films. Yeah.
Oh, no, contacted Kayla Batson from Adorable Adoptables and was like, I need this hat. We're reviewing the movie. I need the hat. So, like, the movie starts with Kevin James as a Nazi, which that phrase is literally how I discovered this movie.
Yeah. Can I say, one, I got halfway through this film before I realized I was watching Kevin James. And that is
right?
Because, two, this is his greatest performance ever. He falls into that role so hard. I spent the whole time, like half of the film, just being like, this guy's really good.
Yeah.
They actually had, Simon Pegg slated for that role.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
They had Simon Pegg, and I read the trivia on that, and I'm like, I cannot picture, as much as I adore Simon Pegg, I cannot picture him in that role, because, oh my God, the guy they had was fucking perfect. Like, I loved him. I have no idea what else he's been in. I have to go now check out his IMDb and look up shit.
No.
Because, oh, my God.
No. You do not want to do that.
This isn't the epitome. This is the height of his career. Okay.
Yes. He's an Adam Sandler best friend.
Yep.
So his entire career, with the exception of this, is the sitcom King of Queens and being
the
bad guy in everything. He's Paul Blart. This is Paul Blart.
This couldn't be more of a, 180 degree turn for me. You know, it was really from playing, characters in the sitcoms and doing movies like Paul Blart, Mall Cop and Zookeeper and, fun family movies. This was just a departure, which, I was always saying, like, I'd love to do something different, but the script had to be great. And that was the key to it.
I'm looking for a key. It has this symbol engraved on it. You seen it?
No.
Well, that leaves little Becky. Where's Becky?
No, exactly. And especially with the simple fact that you've got Robert Maillé as Apex right there.
He's like my favorite local actor. He really is. Yeah. I met him in 2005. We were at the same camping event. And he's such a sweet guy that I get right excited when I see his name or when I know that he's going to be in something. I was trying to let Lynette know earlier who's in this movie. And I was like, the guy from Sherlock Holmes. And she's like, who? I said, Cour, Petit Lapin, Cour. And she's like, I have no idea who that is.
Cour, Petit Lapin, Cour. Avec plaisir.
As much as we've been singing the praises of Maillé and Kevin James, and rightfully so, like I was saying, at the start of the film, there is that cliche of a black guy dying first, which is a fair bit of, oh.
It totally wasn't required for the movie. It was not required. You did not have to have that happen to set him up as a Nazi person. It really didn't have to happen.
Yeah, I feel that if you had just led with the radio report saying there's escaped convicts, and then you see, you know, him dressed like a cop killing that family, that would have been enough.
Yeah.
It's a superfluous now, scene.
I do understand, like, later on in the movie, there's a bit of interaction between Kayla and that and himself. And there's the whole, well, you know, my people and your people. So, okay, I get why he was written as Nazi. It wasn't required. They could have had something else to do with that, because, you know, some guys just have hate on for strong women. I don't know. But if I were ever to get the chance to talk to the author or the writer, I would ask, why did you write him like that? Why did you write him as a Nazi supporter?
Well, funny story, you might.
Oh.
Because one of the writers, Nick Morris, is actually a local guy.
Really?
And he had posted in what was then the Hellcon Facebook group back in May, like letting people know about the movie and stuff. So yeah, like it could happen.
That for sure though explains the quarter. That was so out of place.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so it's filmed in Toronto, hence Canadian Quarter, and as somebody who's a person who lives in the States, and she's a young girl, and this is her treasure box, that for some reason must have held some kind of memory for her, okay? Maybe they took a trip to Canada, but that whole flashing it before she threw it, or, you know, there's a couple of little things that I'm like, what was the significance of that? How did that lend itself to the movie?
Well, yeah. Here's the interesting thing. So the film isn't a straightforward film showing you what happened. The film is a recontextualization through her memory of what is. So that's why the quarter flashes, because she's actually thinking about using it as an excuse, which she does at the end of the film. What were they looking for? Oh, a Canadian quarter. That's why it flashed, because you're not actually watching the events. You're watching her memories as she is making up lies about those events.
Yeah, the character was, well, having raised two daughters, we survived their teenage years.
Yeah.
You don't want to piss off a 13-year-old girl, as evidenced by this movie.
No, and we're going to get to that in 1 second. Just one last thing I did want to bring up with the opening of the film was that, like, yes, it would have been nice if they didn't have to kill a black guy right away as part of the escape plan. Like, it was one of those, I get why, but another way would have been nice. But at the same time, the cinematography of switching back and forth almost seamlessly between the prison and Becky's escape from high school, I really like that, because except for one shot, it's almost like it's flawless. There was, I think it was the final switch wasn't quite in sync, but the rest of them were just perfect. It was like, okay, that was kind of cool.
That, I mean, my best roles are really in that sort of genre, horror, thriller, and my best experiences, really.
So speaking of Becky, there's a viciousness, sort of like an intensity to the film and your character. Is this something that drove you to it? Were you intrigued to this movie and your character because of the sort of intensity, or was it more of something else?
No, I mean, that played a big role, but it was also seeing that there was this young 13-year-old character that wasn't just like the fragile victim, you know? She was, she wasn't running away from her dangers. She was facing them head on, and she didn't need to be saved, which I really loved. And she kind of used her anger to push her through this situation and to really avenge the deaths that she's experienced.
Yeah, actually, that's not necessarily Hobo, but it's actually taken from the same thing that Hobo is based on. And there's a very specific sequence when she's setting up at the dock that its influence really shines through. This is a Evil Dead fan film. That top to bottom, every single bit of this is a love letter to Sam Raimi. It's as if Sam Raimi directed Home Alone. Here's what we'd have. And there was just that wonderful moment where it became so overt with the close-up prep shots that you get in Raimi films, specifically Army of Evil Dead and Army of Darkness. Evil Dead 2? Yeah, not the first Evil Dead. But I just loved how it was like, it took a moment to really revel in that before showing you the real gore, before really getting into it. Just by the way,
there's no way I would have done any of that when I was 13.
Well, no, but at the same time, like I was saying to you over Messenger this morning, Becky has issues. like Becky has issues, and a father who is the exact type of almost doormat parent that, as an early childhood educator, I can't stand.
Because they have free-range children?
Basically, yeah. And, like, he's clearly trying to be her friend. He will not discipline her. She openly shoplifts. He knows full well she's doing it. And yet does nothing.
Well, okay, he's probably going to backpedal and say, but she's had a difficult life and she's reacting because of the loss of her mother. And, you know, okay, I can see where all of that mentality might go, but how long ago did her mother pass away?
It was somewhere in the previous year.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking at a year-ish, maybe a little bit more than a year. All right. So, he's already moved on, started a new relationship and gotten engaged.
Yep.
And yet he hasn't had a strong enough, he hasn't allowed his fiance and his child to have a strong enough relationship before he A, gets engaged, or B, lets her know. There's just, that's not how you parent.
No. And like on the one hand, she has clearly shut him out because like she is obviously, as any 13-year-old girl dealing with the loss of a parent would be, is clearly angry at the world. But there's also,
well,
like,
13-year-old girls were angry at the world anyway, yeah, at the loss of the parent.
From the moment you meet Becky, like, even before she starts to really, before she lashes out, this kid should be in therapy. I'm sorry, this kid should be talking to someone.
I really like, that throughout the film, her semi-stepmother, since technically not actually married to her dad yet, her stepmother is just like, there's no moment when she's worried about Becky or she gets compromised by Becky. She's worried about her own kid and herself because of that great moment where she's like, I don't think you quite understand. She hates me with the passion of 1,000 suns. She hates you more.
Yeah.
You have just killed, you have just tortured and killed her only remaining parent.
Oh no,
it's with that.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say, I'm not even gonna try to fight or run. I just wanna watch this. You're fucked.
She is just one of the best actors I've ever worked with. She is so good. She is on it. Her acting is just impeccable. And I can see why she does not stop working.
It was a character and a movie that I don't really get the opportunity to play. So I was really excited. And then when I found out Kevin James was involved, then I was super excited because an action thriller with a 14-year-old female as a lead and then Kevin James as the villain sounds like my perfect dream project.
Quick plot summary. So Kevin, as Dominic, the leader of this group, the way he's playing Dominic, it's kind of half gang, half almost cult. But
it's the Nazi group.
He very much is mentoring his children. Children.
Exactly. And they arrive at the log cabin. Under the pretext of looking for this lost dog. And you see the fiance, she invites him into their cabin. I'm kind of going,
mistake why? Number one, but anyway.
That seemed odd, but.
No, yeah, Mikhail invited him in.
Kayla did, yeah. He knocked on the door, she answered it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was him. And then he comes around and sees the child and is like, must be racist.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're actually there to look for this mysterious key that is essentially the MacGuffin of the entire movie. And Becky has, unfortunately for them, found this key in the basement a long time ago. And has taken it to her cabin in the woods.
Literally, yes. Yes.
Like, I legitimately enjoy the fact that she has this treehouse in the forest just so that I can call it an actual cabin in the woods. Right. But at one point, Dominic figures out that Becky is actually his daughter, that, also, side note, if you have issues with violence toward animals in film. Particularly dogs. There are moments here that are going to be a problem.
Yeah, it got Dora. To the point that I was trying to figure out how many dogs they had, because every chance they got, one of the bad guys would kill or hurt a dog. And it's like, okay, but isn't that like dog number five? My God.
Diego was very hard stock. He stuck it out. Yeah. Then Diego wasn't up against a gun like Dora was, so.
No. But Diego did take a punch from Robert Maillé, which.
And survived.
Dominic eventually figures out that Becky is out in the woods and she either has the key or knows where the key is. And so, at one point, he sends out Cole, one of his dudes, the guy in the orange camo, out to the cabin to try and get the key from Becky. Cole, and this is the beautiful thing of the entire movie, because just like everybody else, he's not taking Becky seriously at all. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, what kind of threat is a 13-year-old girl?
Well, yeah, they're small. They can be dealt with.
So he's trying to negotiate. And at one point, he says, your dad's safe. Your mom's safe.
He mentioned Kayla and he mentioned Ty. He said he did not say anything about Jeff being safe.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. It's like, he couldn't have known that the father was dead, because didn't that happen when he wasn't there?
He was in the house when it happened.
Yeah.
This was before that. Remember, Jeff is killed basically right in front of Becky.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
And then she goes back to the fort to get the key.
Yeah. And so he's trying to talk her into giving him the key, And like I said, he's saying, you know, like you're as soon as he says your mom is safe, you can freeze the image of Becky right after that and just play that audio meme.
It was at this moment that he knew he fucked up.
So I think let's go into any final thoughts, ratings, and so forth. And obviously, I am giving this movie full marks. This movie made me happy in ways that may say bad things about me.
Well, then you're in good company, because I'm giving it full marks too.
Full marks. Well, geez, I guess I'm going to have to as well say I give it 4 dead Nazis out of 4 potential dead Nazis.
Nice.
Yeah.
Flawless victory.
But with that, coming up will be, if I've got the order of our recordings right, the next one will be our review of my all-time favorite film. And otherwise, coming up, we have our reviews of Star Wars Episode 9. We'll be looking at The Untouchables from 1987, as well as the 2015 web series Haphead. So until then, as always, you know, you can buy merchandise at addytheadipose.redbubble.com. And as much as I normally don't mention this, by the time this goes up, I should have Addie's photo shoot of her Becky cosplay ready to go. Which will be at addytheadipose.weebly.com. And Vita, what do you have going on?
Well, shock of all shocks, I actually did put an application in for one of my annual shows. As in an in-person show, not a virtual one.
Wow, they do those?
They do. The organizer is working very hard to keep all the vendors social distanced and directions on the floor and hand sanities all over the place. And of course, masks. And so I'm waiting to hear back from that. With any luck, I will be booking 2 weekends in with them. If you are interested in finding out what I sell, what I make, and where to find me, go to outofthebroomcloset.ca. When you find the, you can't see it very well, when you find the geeky witch with the Doctor Who scarf, you found the right spot. It's now on my arm, so I can use it as advertising. Look, when you find her, you found the right place.
Oh, nice. Crash?
We are still in the process of relaunching Here You Go and all of our wonderful videos over on My Genderist Cinema. But if you visit patreon.com/hereyougo, I just put a bunch of my stuff behind a paywall. Give me money. All the new stuff will be absolutely free. All of the old stuff, you gotta pay for. Because if I'm going to embarrass myself with my old content, I want cash.
Oh, that is actually entirely reasonable. So with that, until next time,